This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas. We're always encouraged to know that God is using the Ark to bless people's lives. If you have a story to share about how God's working in your life, submit your story by visiting blessing.thearkchurch.com.
I was reading a quote this past week from a man who said that he was talking about the rush and the pressures of modern life. And he said we allow these conflicting concerns to pull us in different directions. He said we surrendered to too many projects. He said it's destroying our inner capacity for peace. And I thought, well, that's probably just another article by someone writing about our connected society until I read that the guy wrote this in the 1960s. So that was over 50 years ago. And as I began to look a little further, I found out his name was Thomas Merton. He was a Catholic priest who actually was a monk who lived in a monastery in rural Kentucky. So everyone's on a search for peace. And so you talk about peace today, and everyone's like, well, in our generation, you know, it's much worse than anybody else. It's always been something that man has searched for. People have looked for peace for a long, long time. There is no peace like God's peace. And so people are constantly looking. You say, well, Alan, don't you believe we're in a different day today? I do believe we're in a different day today. Because for the past 50 years, when I was growing up as a kid, they took prayer out of school by late 50s or early 60s. Which was it? By the time I got there, you couldn't do it. And so it used to be, can you imagine, it used to be you walking to school and people would pray and honor God. So it's been a process, but it's more and more. And here's what we're dealing with today. Today we're dealing not just with the challenges that are out there and always have been out there. They've gotten worse and we're more aware of them. Because we used to have to wait till the 6 o'clock news. Remember, we had to wait. It'll be on the news at 6 o'clock. Those days are gone. Because right now your phone is blowing up. And we know everything that's going on all over the place. And we become extremely aware of it. And so we're living in a day where right now, I can tell you in America, racial tensions have sparked back up again. In the 60s, I can remember riots and curfews. And man, it looks like we're heading. We need to pray, guys. I don't want to head back in that direction again. That was not a good place to say, well, Alan, what are we going to do about racial problems? The racial problems have always existed. The church is the answer. Jesus is the answer. You're not going to get people from different races to get along until they have Christ in their hearts. You get Christ in their hearts. And let me tell you, where there's more grace, there's less race. And so the church really needs to lead the way. We need to be the ones where you can come here. We don't care where your background is, where you're from, what your race is. If you love the Lord, this is a wonderful place for you. And like I said, we just continue to honor the fact that Jesus trumps everybody. And whether it's black or white, all that stuff. So I think the church can continue to be a pioneer in this area. The world does not have answers, and they're not going to have answers. Then we're dealing with economic tensions. Things may be good everywhere else. They're not so great in the oil patch. I'm grateful it hasn't just plummeted here, but it hasn't been good. People have had to change jobs, change careers. Passenger in a cab reached over and tapped the cabbie on the shoulder to ask him a question. Cab driver screamed, lost control of the cab, almost hit a bus, drove off the road, drove up on the sidewalk, almost killed a couple of pedestrians, and stopped about this far from a shop window. It was real quiet in the cab, and the cab driver turned around and he said, bro, don't ever do that again. Man, you scared the daylights out of me. And the passenger said, I apologize. I didn't think just a little tap like that would scare you so much. The cab driver said, well, he said, I'm sorry. He said, it's not your fault. He said, this is my very first day to drive a cab. He said, for 25 years, I drove a hearse. That'll make you lose all your peace right there. So we've got racial tensions going on. We've got economic tension. In the homes, I don't know that homes have got less tension. I think there's a lot to. You got more blended families now. That creates interesting scenarios. And now you have a new phenomenon called the boomerang. You know what a boomerang is? It's when your kids leave home and you think, oh, they're gone. No, they're back. That's the boomerang. So economic conditions have created a situation where you got more boomerang kids coming back. So things in the home necessarily haven't changed. And here's our challenge. If we're always thinking about all the things that are going wrong, it can really rob us of God's peace in our life. If If you're always thinking and focusing on the negative, there are times, guys, I'll just be honest with you, where I just cut the news off. Times I just like, do I really need to hear about another tragedy? And there are times I like, no, I don't. But you're constantly hearing things all the time, constantly thinking about it. It'll steal the peace right out of your heart. When I was living in one of the homes that we had, when I had an office in my loft area, it was a nice, bright, airy room, and it had some windows up at the top. So one day, I look up in the window, and there's a red wasp crawling on the window. I don't like wasps. Wasps, bees, yellow jackets, snakes are all in the same category. All of them need to die. So I look up, and there's this wasp. Have you ever looked up, and you can't tell whether it's inside or outside? You're looking out. Finally, I realize a wasp is outside, and he's building a nest. I'm like, oh, no, he's not. Because I know that someone, some genius, created wasp spray. Well, I could stand here and hit the back wall. I love that thing, man. So I went down and got my wasp gun, and I am going out to kill those intruders into my home. And as I'm getting ready to open the door, those were the days of the pager. You might remember pagers. I'm going to explain it to you. Pagers were these big things, like about this big. That's how people used to contact you. They would page you. And I had a silent function on my pager with a buzz that would make your legs shake. And so I'm getting ready to open the door, and all of a sudden that pager went, bzzz. Man, I screamed like a girl. I really did. Because I had wasp on my mind. I was thinking wasp. I was thinking killing wasp. I would think. And then when that pager went off, I knew a wasp had gotten loose and into the house, and he was trying to kill me before I killed him. And But what happens? The more we think about these things, the more it makes us uneasy. You say, well, Alan, what in the world do we think about? I am so glad you asked. I have a promise for you. It's from Jesus. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Now, he says here, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you realize that's up to us? We don't have to let our hearts be troubled and be afraid. And there's things we can do to keep God's peace flowing like a river in our life. And there's things we can do that kind of dam it up. So we need to let peace flow. Now, you think, well, man, if I could just live in another time, if I live back in the day where Jesus was living, then there would be perfect peace in my life. And that's not the case. Because I'm going to give you a story this morning of two ladies, a tale of two ladies. Same home. One of them is dealing with peace. One of them is not. In Luke, the 10th chapter, here's the story. It's Jesus. Now, Jesus and his disciples were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. There's a great story. Story about, you think, well, if I lived in another time, there would be less stress. I don't know if that's the case. Because here's Martha, who is very stressed out. She invited Jesus into her home. That means there's a crowd in her home. And the Bible says she was distracted with much serving. Distracted, that's a big word we use today, is distracted. But this word in the scriptures, distracted, means to be pulled in many different directions at the same time. So I'm sure she wanted to listen to Jesus, but she had stuff to do, and this was her home. And then to add top of that, she had some expectations that were not being met. Her expectations were here, and what was being delivered was here, and that's not good. And she's upset at Mary because Mary was supposed to be helping her. But Mary was not. And you can imagine that interaction between sisters. Martha was probably in the kitchen looking at Mary, trying to get Mary's attention. Mary. Mary's just ignoring her. Mary's listening to Jesus. So Martha sends her a text with some of those emoticons with nasty faces on them going... Mary's not paying any attention, but Mary's supposed to be helping her. And she's getting madder, and then she's also mad because Jesus is supposed to recognize that Mary is supposed to be helping Martha. So now she's stressed. And when she's stressed, she lashes out. I know you've never done this, but Indulge me just for a second. Sometimes people under pressure lash out, and Martha lashes out. Martha walks in. The Son of God, the Creator of the universe, is sitting in your living room teaching and having a time, sharing the word, important words, eternal words. And you're in the kitchen, and now you're mad. So you come out and interrupt the Lord. Excuse me, Lord. Excuse me. Excuse me. Mary, can't you see this? And the first thing she said was, don't you care? You just accused Jesus, who's about to die for her, of not caring. Don't you care? Don't you care that my sister, a lazy heifer, has left me to work alone? She's upset. Don't you care, Jesus? So first, she accused Jesus of not caring. Second, this was brilliant. She told the Lord what to do. Can I give you a pointer? Don't do that. He doesn't take instructions from us well. I know some of you have tried that in prayer. Lord, you need to tell them to do this and this and this. Martha, Martha. So anyway, she says, Lord, you need to tell Mary to help me. You notice how much me? I'm in this alone or by myself, and she needs to help me, 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 me. And Jesus looked at her and goes, Martha, Martha, when the Lord calls your name twice, that's not usually a good sign. Martha, Martha. He said, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. In other words, you say, Martha, sweetheart, this meal is not your problem. Your attitude is your problem. You're worried, caught up about what people think of you and you being a great hostess and being so wonderful. He said, Mary, on the other hand, has chosen what's most valuable. And what she's chosen to listen, to sit at my feet and listen to my words, that's going to add something to her life. Something that'll never be taken away. Jesus never, from any indication we have, Jesus never looked at Mary and said, go help your sister. He said, no, she's chosen. She's made a good choice. So she's just sitting there listening and receiving. You know Jesus wasn't as moved by food. I bet you if Martha, this is Alan's speculation, if Martha had stepped in and said, Lord, I would really like to listen to what you've got to say, but I know I've got to get this meal. He might have said, Mary, Martha, sit down, sweetheart. Listen, for a little, we'll do something about eating later. Jesus wasn't really moved by food. He fasted. Anybody can fast for 40 days without food. It's not a foodie. And Jesus also would have major conferences where people would come and stay for 3 days. He didn't feed them until the end. So he recognized it's important, but it didn't drive him. He's looking at Mary, going, come on, Martha. Stressed. Could have had wonderful peace, but she didn't. Well, where does that leave us? Well, we can create a better environment for God's peace in our life. There's some things we can do. Remember the Bible said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Is there things we can do? Yeah. Here's the first one. You'll like this one. Align your values and your priorities up with God. Yeah, I got that same response both in both services before. Got real quiet. What do you mean? I mean, we're constantly having to deal with one big word. It's pervasive. It starts when we're born, and we constantly have to deal with it. It's called selfishness. It's about me. If your whole world is only about you, somebody's always going to be messing with your world. Anybody ever had this experience? You're running late to a meeting, and you're upset, and when you're running late, everyone gets in your personal lane. They see you coming, they know you're late, and they get in your lane and slow down. I notice that when I'm running late, I'm much more agitated at people who have the nerve to get into my lane and slow me down. But when I'm not running late, I'm okay. People can get in my lane, and I'm like, hey, bless them, Lord. Help. Help them, Lord. Teach them to drive. Help them, Lord. Yeah. What? When it's about us, something's always happening to us. GQ magazine did an article in December 2013 where they named Matthew McConaughey their man of the year. You know who I'm talking about, Matthew McConaughey. All right. Yeah, that Matthew McConaughey. So they named him man of the year. They did an interview and they said, Matthew, so what's your philosophy of life? He said, I've become a lot more selfish. He said, selfish has gotten a bad rap. He said, you should do good for you. That's Matthew's mentality. Well, a few pages over, they had an interview with the man that GQ magazine named Life Coach of the Year. His name was George Saunders. And George said, the biggest problem, the biggest thing we're dealing with, he said, is this misunderstanding that everyone thinks that I am central. In other words, that the world revolves around me. And he said, all the nasty stuff we're dealing with comes from that misperception. So you got Matthew McConaughey going, you should do for you. And you've got George Saunders going, get over yourself. Two things. Which one's right? It's not Matthew. All wrong, all wrong, all wrong. And it's George's right. What am I saying is, as a Christian, as a believer, our life becomes a process of laying down all of our desires and everything we want, saying, Lord, what do you want for my life? Now, Alan, you're thinking, Alan, I know that you're going to quote that scripture to me, seek first the kingdom of God. You're exactly right. In fact, here it is right here. But look what comes before. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He said, don't get caught up in all that stuff, worrying and fretting and all that. He said, you seek God first. He said, well, how can I do that? Well, one of the best ways you can do it is do exactly what Mary did. You can sit at his feet and hear his word. He said, well, I can't sit at his feet. Yeah, you can take your Bible, you can open it up. And you begin to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Your words are valuable. That's one of the best ways to do it. So aligning our priorities up with him. Here's the second one. Clarify expectations. Clarify expectations. Oftentimes, people go into situations. They can come into church. They can go into families. They can go into situations, and their expectations are here, and then what's actually delivered is here. So expectations here, delivered here. In between is what I call the offense zone, where people get offended and mad and lose all their peace because they're upset, because of what should have been done. It's not uncommon to see couples are getting ready to get married. They're like, they have this look on their face like, oh, we're going to get married. It's going to be so wonderful. And everything is going to be great. And then you see them after a few months later, and they kind of look shell-shocked, like, what in the world happened? And their expectations were here. When Joy and I first got married, Joy thought, oh, it's going to be so wonderful because I know that at night he will hold me and we will cuddle together and we will. That ain't happening. It's like, you sleep on that side, I sleep on this side. And don't touch me. And so she's like, what? Expectations here, delivery here. This is where people get offended. So what do we do? Well, we clarify expectations. You begin to clarify expectations. Begin to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Here's what we can do. Here are the expectations. What if Martha had come to Mary and said, Mary, let's get together and let's make a meal. And Mary could have said, I don't think I want to do that. Let's ask Jesus. They could have clarified things. They didn't. Now, we just went, I live by this. We just went to the beach a couple of weeks ago and took our whole family. We've been doing this for 20-some years. And, you know, but our family has grown. So now I got Matt and Kelly with their two, Kylie and Gracie, 2 and like 4 months. I've got Christina and Josh. I've got Michael and his girlfriend, separate rooms. And, yeah, and so we're all under one roof. So I called everybody together the first time we're there. We sat down. I said, here are the guidelines. What? You're on vacation. Clarifying expectations. Here are the guidelines. Here's what we're going to do. If you make a mess, clean it up. If you are here, I said, everyone needs to parent their own children. So don't be telling other parents what to do with their kids. Unless you see Kylie heading for the pool without anybody else, you let Matt and Kelly parent the children. You're not parenting. I said, kind words between everybody. See, did you actually do this? I actually did this. What am I doing? I'm clarifying expectations. I said, Mom and I are not doing marriage counseling unless you ask us. We have no opinions unless you ask us. I said, you're on your own till 4 o'clock and we get together to have dinner. I'm laying everything out. Why? So no one is upset. So no one walks in and goes, well, who left the dishes? Have you ever done that? Who left the dishes in here? This is a mess in here. You live together for a few days, man, and people start getting on each other. And so what are you doing? You just clarify. And guess what? We had a week full of peace. It's quiet in here. Because I can hear your wheels just churning going, oh, yeah. When your child boomerangs back, you need to have some guidelines. Hey, welcome back to the home. Here are the rules. Rules? I'm 22. I don't care. You're in my house. Here are the rules. Here's how we do it. I had a pastor look at me and said, that's your personality. I said, yeah, because I have fought my way through way too many things. So we clarify vacations. We clarify holidays and where we're going to who's and what we're going to do. Why? If I clarify expectations, you're like, hey, you got a scripture for that? I'm so glad you asked. I do. Look at this right here. Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? In the Old Testament, they used to have battles, and they would blow a trumpet, and the trumpet was to let you know what was going on. And so if it wasn't clear, they wouldn't know what to do. Clarify expectations. I realize this is going to be lunch conversation all over town. But it'll help you clear expectations. Here's the third thing. You might like this better. Whatever you do, regardless of your circumstances, you got to believe that God cares for you. That the Lord cares. Martha was mad because she thought the Lord didn't care because of what was going on. You got to believe He cares. If you believe He cares, then it makes it easier to believe you're going to come through this situation. If you believe He cares, you won't accuse the Lord and you won't beg Him. If you believe He cares, it's so much easier. When I grew up in a middle-sized southern town, and in the 70s, I began to date. Now, I realized I'm dating. Does anybody date anymore? I know they hook up. Do they date? But we used to date. And here's the deal. You couldn't text someone and ask them for a date. You had to call them. Work with me now. Anybody 50 or over? Okay, work with me here. Here we go. You had to call them on a landline, which means you had to negotiate parents sometimes. And if you didn't know whether that girl wanted to ask you out, by the way, girls could not call guys. That was against Southern rules. You just didn't do it. A girl called you, your mama would say, you're not going out with that girl, that's trashy. So you call. And if you didn't know they wanted to go out with you, it's a cold call. You're nervous. Man, I remember my hands are sweaty. Pick up the phone, you're like, and then you had to navigate the parents. I'm like, hello? You're looking at some dad. Yeah, who's this? It's Alan. Can I speak with Tiffany? All right. Tiffany! Some guy named Alan on the phone. Tiffany got on the phone and you're like, hey, Tiffany, it's Alan. And I know you don't want to go out at all. Do you want to go out? Okay, goodbye. But I got wise to that. I'm going to pre-qualify these things. So I would ask somebody to ask somebody to ask a friend to ask a friend to find out whether this girl liked me ahead of time. And when I knew she liked me ahead of time, oh, she likes you. She thinks you're cute. I'm in. That's a whole different phone call. Hey, baby. Hey. Yeah. Yeah, it's me. Yeah. When are we going to go out? Different phone call from nervous Alan to cool Alan. Because I knew that she cared. I've got too many Christians calling God, going, God, I know you don't want to talk to me, and I'm a horrible Christian. I know you don't like me at all. But oh, please, I know you won't answer. Click. That's your prayer life. But when you know He loves you and that He cares for you, you can come before the throne and say, hello, Father. I love you. I appreciate you. I just praise you. Here I am, your favorite child, once again, to talk to you because I know you care. You say, I can't base whether God cares for me. I can't base it on what's going around me. I got to base it on Scripture. Say, have you got Scripture for that? Yeah, I do. I'm glad you asked. Look at this. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God at the right time. He will lift you up in honor. Never said He'd squash you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Give all your worries and cares to God, because He cares about you. One of the biggest keys to peace is realizing, God, you care. And if I have peace with God, then I have the peace of God. So I can begin to say, Father, even big, you say, all the big worries? No, all your worries and cares. You'll be surprised at some of the little things I've taken to the Lord. I've almost apologized. I was like, well, it's not a big thing, but it's bothering me, and I give it to you. What's that do? That makes room for God's peace. Now, if you're here today and you think, well, I'm here and I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or maybe you're like I was, you had one, and you strayed away, got away from God. You may be out there thinking, I bet God's angry or annoyed or uninterested in me. And I understand that line of thinking, but it's inaccurate because God deeply cares about you and He loves you. Say, well, how will I know that? Well, we know that because one defining move shows what God thinks about you. He gave His Son to die for you. And the Bible said God demonstrates His love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You think He's angry? He's open-armed. Would you bow your head for a moment? I'm going to ask, please, no one leave or move. We'll be out of here in just a few moments. But if you came this morning and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I'm so glad to hear God's not angry at me, and yes, I'd like one. Or maybe you're here thinking that God's pretty much uninterested in you because you've messed up and gotten away from Him. Good news. Come on back. He's welcoming you with open arms. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you said, Alan, this is me. I want a relationship with the Lord. Or Alan, I want to come back to the Lord. Would you pray for me? We're going to do that. But would you have the courage just to lift your hand and acknowledge that and say, that is me that you're talking to across this auditorium. Slip your hand up and say, Alan, would you pray for me? I want to come back to the Lord or I need to know Him for the very first time. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, I see you. Way in the back. Right there. Yeah, thank you. Great. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Wonderful. Great. You can put your hand down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You really wanted to, but you're embarrassed or afraid. And you're thinking, I messed it again. No, listen. God sees hands, but He also sees your heart. So we're going to pray this prayer out loud. We'll all join you together if you pray it with us. And this is a powerful prayer that connects you or reconnects you with God. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior. It's the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed still, just for a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank You for those who've stepped out of darkness into light and those who've come back into fellowship. Thank You. You welcome them with open arms. Father, for those here who are really dealing with difficult situations and family scenarios that have stolen their peace, thank You, Father, that peace can flow in their lives. And but what they're dealing with now is not their destiny, but they have a greater destiny in You. We are so grateful for that. We thank You for it. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.